from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Slash free. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Your coworkers might annoy you, but we promise we won't. Download the free Odyssey app and you can listen to us at work while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Tune in late, you can rewind your favorite live shows to catch what you missed. And with chapters, easily jump to the topics that you care about most, like the latest updates from your team. Your sports talk, your way. The Odyssey app. Download it today.
Now. Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-load conditions versus API-SP test limits.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the easy bake oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's Gabe time.
Game time, and we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
And rolling midweek Wednesday, August 28th, 2024 is the date, and welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. Alongside me is the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That'd be Sheila Sadeghi on X that we figured out yesterday. Sheila Sadeghi won. Sheila, how's it hanging? How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. I am doing phenomenal. I cannot complain. A little hot, but I cannot complain. Now, we have 2 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open as we normally do with overreaction, not an overreaction. But past that, we have some Ja'Marr Chase news to talk about. Are the Bengals screwing around a little bit too much with getting this contract done? We'll answer that question. We have some week one college football storylines. Ole Miss's wide receiver room right now. I'm not trying to, like, go after Rebels fans or trying to say doom and gloom, but there's been some news about their wide receiver room that I think is worth discussing. Some injuries and a notable omission that will not play for them this year that they recruited and they thought highly of heading out of JUCO. We'll talk about that. As far as guests are concerned, bottom half of this hour, Colton Denning, as normal on a Wednesday from Two Stripes CPD. We'll talk some college football, get to some week one storylines. Then 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join from CBS Sports, as he normally does on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Before I get to overreaction, not an overreaction, One of my favorite stories of the day came from Front Office Sports, A.J. Perez. And he reports on a lot of different things in sports media. But today, he ended up reporting on Colorado and Oregon last year. We know that Oregon handled business on their home field 42-6. And we remember the Dan Lanning. They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins and all the back and forth. Well, if you'll remember after that game, Colorado submitted a bit of a some allegations to the Pac-12 about a breach of their video service. They thought that Oregon had the beat on them. They thought that Oregon cheated, took some of their film that week, and that's why they ended up getting that win and winning by so much, quite frankly. Now, the video service that runs Colorado's video department ended up today announcing there was no breach and they found no wrongdoing, no improper activity. So Colorado had that they put on Oregon. We have Dion going after media members, whether it's from CBS Sports or Sean Keeler, the Denver Post. And now he learns that, no, they didn't steal video. They just kicked your ass. So I got a kick out of that story, but we'll see how they fare because we're going to talk about it probably tomorrow, some of the big games of week one, and on Thursday you're going to have Colorado versus North Dakota State. That's going to be a massive game for them. I know it's FCS versus FBS. It's going to be in Colorado, but if that game does not go in Prime's direction, the noise is just going to get louder and louder and louder. But as we normally start on a Wednesday, I think it's time to go ahead and hop into Overreaction, not an Overreaction. Hit it, Sheila.
Now, it's Overreaction or Not an Overreaction.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Sheila, what do we have today? Let's hop into it.
Four-time Pro Bowl running back Dalvin Cook is signing with the Cowboys practice squad. He worked out with them yesterday, seemed to look in shape, but he's coming off a very disappointing year with the Jets where he only carried the ball 62 times for 214 yards, didn't account for a single touchdown. Regardless, signing Dalvin Cook is worthwhile for the Dallas Cowboys. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Here's what I'm going to say. He may be washed, and I fully can get with you there. I mean, he has not been good. Even his last 1,000-yard rushing season with the Vikings, not very good. But I'm going to go not an overreaction here. I did get a kick out of the fact that the Cowboys are going to sign him to the practice squad. Why? What's the point there? I guess you could get him used to the playbook and then bring him up, sure. But like when you look at that running back room, you have Ezekiel Elliott, who is actively washed, like we know he is, but they signed him for nostalgia purposes. He's going to be their lead back. You have Rico Dowdle, who is an undrafted guy who hopefully can give them something. That's their secondary back right now. And you have 5'5 Deuce Vaughn. Like, they don't have anything. Like, what is keeping you from putting a four-time Pro Bowler on your active roster and trying to give him some attempts going into week one against the Cleveland Browns? Like, he's not a developmental guy. He's 29 years old. 2 years removed from a 1,000-yard year. I get he wasn't any good last year, but Breece Hall got all the touches for the Jets. He didn't get any opportunities with the Jets. He was fighting through injury behind a disgustingly bad offensive line, getting four carries a game. I think this is a worthwhile signing, but they're going to have to use him, in my opinion. There's no reason to have him just wasting away on a practice squad. And, again, the Cowboys' lead back is Ezekiel Elliott. It's Ezekiel Elliott. Dalvin Cook isn't that much worse than that, is he? Are we fooling ourselves into thinking Dalvin Cook is eons worse than Zeke Elliott at this point in both of their careers? Absolutely not. Don't get it wrong. I truly think there is. If Dalvin Cook gets a bunch of run with the Dallas Cowboys this year, I think it's very possible that at some point we debate who's more washed, Ezekiel Elliott or Dalvin Cook. But with the way this running back room looks right now, I'd rather have the chance to debate that than debate or discuss if Rico Dowdle is an acceptable secondary running back. So, in the end of the day, I think this is a worthwhile acquisition. I just hope that they use it the right way. I don't think there are many options out there on the running back market. You could have maybe kicked the tires on one of the guys that got cut. Cut down day was yesterday. My heart goes out to a lot of the guys that got released. And the guys that made teams, including Blake Watson from the University of Memphis, shout out. Well done. Well done. you could have kicked the tires on some guys like that, but I think you need a veteran option, a guy who can pick up an offense relatively quickly and move forward in your offense. So I like this pickup. I just hope they use it the correct way. What we got next?
So the Steelers have announced their starting QB, and they have decided to go with Russell Wilson. His final preseason stats were 10 for 12 for 73 yards. He gets the nod over Justin Fields, who was brought over from the Bears this offseason. Fields will serve as his backup heading into their week one matchup against the Falcons. Mike Tomlin made the correct decision. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Oh, gosh, this is so tough. I'm going to go overreaction. Here's the thing that I will admit off the top. I believe that you don't bring in Russell Wilson, 9-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl winner, if you don't plan on starting him. Like that first and foremost, I completely understand the line of thinking there. And I also get the thought process of, okay, Russell Wilson, what did he do best when he was with the Seattle Seahawks? Play action, get out of the pocket, throw the ball downfield, maybe get into a little scramble drill, use his legs a little bit. I think Arthur Smith's offense, coming over from the Falcons, and maybe he'll get some revenge week one. We'll see what happens there. But I think that type of offense where you're running the ball and you're getting into play action does serve Russell Wilson, right? But when it comes down to the mindset that the Steelers have, rough, tumble, hard hit, lunch pail, workmanlike attitude, I'm not sure that Russell Wilson fits that perfectly. Russell Wilson is the type of guy, if you want to go get his number, he's going to tell you to reach out to his agent. Russell Wilson's the type of guy that wants his own office in the Denver Broncos training facility. Russell Wilson's a guy who seemingly is into Russell Wilson. And I don't know if a lot of Steelers players are really on the same page with him. Now, I talked with Braden Fajoco, one of their defensive tackles, earlier in the offseason. He said he's coming along great. Calvin Austin III joined Jason and John. He said he really likes Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson is, you know, we talk about him being corny all the time, but he's genuinely corny. You know, he's not, like, fake corny. So it seems like some of them like him, but I just don't know if he fits that Steelers identity. And when we talk about him as a quarterback, yeah, he doesn't turn the ball over as much, but he's not near as good or as athletic or big play ready as Justin Fields. What really strikes me about this entire situation is the fact that it seems like Justin Fields never really got an opportunity. There were some discussions about it being a quote-unquote quarterback competition, but clearly that's not what happened. Because if you go look at Justin Fields' stats from the preseason, they supersede anything that Russell Wilson was able to do. I mean, Sheila just read it off. 10 for 12 for 73 yards. That's all he did. So it's clear to me he was the incumbent. It was going to be really hard for Justin Fields to knock him off of that perch. But I just still feel like Justin Fields, the big playability he can give you, potentially downfield using his arm, using his legs, I think it just makes a lot more sense. And this also goes to the fact that the Steelers' offensive line, I know they drafted Troy Fautanu out of Washington with their first-round pick this year, trying to strengthen that offensive line. But that offensive line still stinks. It's not good. And Russell Wilson, yeah, he can use his legs, but not near as well as Justin Fields. And what do you need if all of the protection breaks down? You need a guy who can go make plays off platform. And I think Justin Fields fits that billing a whole lot more. I think Russell Wilson, as the quarterback for the Steelers, you're going to have a lot of three and outs. You're not going to be pacing the game all that well. You're just going to rely on your defense. I know the Steelers want to do that, but I just thought that there was a lot more excitement behind Justin Fields if he was able to lead this offense. The other part of this that I will give Mike Tomlin a bit of a pass on, I think it would be much harder to go from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson than Russell Wilson to Justin Fields. You start the incumbent, Justin Fields feels like, okay, let's see what he does in the first couple weeks. Then you can go to Justin Fields, the developmental guy. He's 11 years younger than Russell Wilson at this point. But if you started with Justin Fields, you may sort of piss off Russell Wilson. He may not want to play for you the same way. And then if you sort of lean on him, if Justin Fields struggles, it may get a little bit weird in that locker room. So I understand that part of it. But I just think ultimately, if you want to move forward as a franchise, Russell Wilson's not your guy for the future. Justin Fields has more of an opportunity to be that guy. It just felt like they should have leaned his way a little bit more and made this more of an open competition. So I'm just going to say overreaction. I don't think this was the right decision by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we got Sign Stealer is out on Netflix, which of course documents the Connor Stallions and Michigan football sign stealing case. I know you dove into it. It is 100% worth the watch. Overreaction or not an overreaction?
Sheila, not an overreaction. It's phenomenal. It's great. Now, I will say, like, Connor Stallions tells his side of the story. I know Jeffrey just got off the air, and, like, the whole idea of that show at times is tell your story, not the story. And Connor Stallions did a good job of that. First thing that I noticed when watching this is the fact that Connor Stallions started at Navy. He was a coach there. And he was just told to decipher signs because they had nobody on that staff doing it. So he started in 2014, and he finished in 2017. Do you know when I played, Sheila? Do you know my years of starting at the University of Memphis?
Tell me.
2014 to 2017. This guy, he led the winningest 4 years in Navy football history under King Niumatalolo. And I sat back and I thought about it. And I'm like, damn, those are my exact years. He stole our signs. He stole signs from me. We lost 2 of 3 games to Navy football when I was there. One at home, if you'll remember, in that 2015 year, we were 8-0. They knocked us off our perch. We were number 13 in the country. And then we went on the road first year under Norvell and lost a late game. There was a fumble by Roderick Proctor. We had some issues there. I think Tony Pollard took one back for one of his many kick return touchdowns in that game. But it occurred to me, damn, he gave them an upper hand on us in those years. That made me struggle just a tad bit, because if we would have never lost that game in 2015 when we were 8-0, number 13 in the country, who knows what would have happened. That game knocked us completely down. We had to completely regroup. We thought we were on top of the world before that game, and they killed us. So Connor Stallions, I guess I'll tip the cap. I will be fair to him. He did it legally at that point when he was with Navy. He wasn't, like, sending people out on the road. But I love the term that was given by Connor Stallions in this documentary about the sign-stealing culture in college football. Connor Stallions explained it as, quote-unquote, the underground community of college football analysts that trade game plans and signals. Brother, I didn't think it was that underground. Right? Like, this is, it's technically legal as long as you're not going out on the road. I didn't think it was underground. I thought most people understood you try to steal signs, you try to do these things, you have a staffer that's looking at these things to see if they can get an edge. If you can get any edge on any opponent you have, you go and do it. So I thought him saying an underground community of college football analysts that trade game plans and signals was a little bit much. But obviously, the problem he ran into was he did the only thing that was illegal. The only thing. He took his show on the road, right? He claims to have never advanced scouted by himself. But he bought tickets for his old military buddies who were taking video that then was relayed to him. He was being very disingenuous about that. It was a full espionage operation. I mean, the NCAA came back with their findings. They said he scouted illegally, either him or somebody else, 58 times in a 3-year period. And I found his effort to even attempt to wipe his hands clean through this whole thing, and obviously it's him talking, so he's going to give his side of the story. But I thought it was completely disingenuous. And besides that, the famous Central Michigan, Michigan State picture came into question here, where it looks like it's Connor Stallions. He has a hat on, and he's on the sideline. And there was some question about if he had, like, a video camera in his sunglasses at, what was it, 8:30 at night, which, who wears sunglasses at 8:30 at night unless you're trying to either conceal your character or you have maybe a video camera in those things. But he denied that. The NCAA basically asked him in his deposition if that was him. Do you remember being on hand for the Central Michigan-Michigan State game? And he said, I don't recall. That's something you'd recall. We know it was you. It was Connor Stallions. We all know it. And his lawyer gave it the old, you know, we have a picture that they claim is Connor. Connor even said, oh, that picture doesn't even look like me. But then throughout the documentary, you get Dave Portnoy, the president over at Barstool Sports, basically saying, yeah, it was him. Connor told me it was him. And I think what's the biggest, the thing that you should latch on to, because we may never get told directly by Connor or his lawyer if that was him on the Central Michigan sideline. Isn't it kind of obvious? If Central Michigan had someone on the sideline, they should probably know about it. We have never gotten a positive ID from Central Michigan on who that person was. So the likelihood of it being Connor Stallions is pretty damn high. Pretty damn high. But I will say about this whole thing, he was at best disingenuous. In real life, though, we call him a liar. We also have Venmo receipts of him buying tickets for others, which in the doc, his best friend and parents try to explain away for him. They basically say, he bought them for me. Hey, do you mean for me to believe that he bought tickets to Purdue games when they're Michigan fans? They're hardcore Michigan fans. You bought tickets to Purdue games when they weren't playing Michigan for them to go travel, and that's, they just did it for fun. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. Stadium security, also in the NCAA investigation, caught multiple people sitting in the seats that he bought recording the entire game. Even with all this evidence against him, he has never stopped playing the victim, and you see that in this documentary. He was intricate about his entire ploy, this espionage deal, but he was sloppy. He got caught red-handed and still told half-truths to the audience on Netflix. And, you know, we saw it in the NCAA deposition at the very end of the documentary. I'll say the overwhelming truth of the entire thing for me. His mom and dad made him a plain-up Michigan fanatic. And he has this focus as a human being that made it a pure obsession. And his dad described him as quote-unquote Rain Man-ish. If you know anything about Rain Man, that was an autistic man played by Dustin Hoffman back in the day. And you combine that with the discipline of the Navy and the Marine Corps, and you end with a guy that has a lifelong dream to coach at Michigan and win a national championship by any means necessary. And by God, he has the drive and the obsession and the wherewithal to make it happen. The other truth I still hold on to, it didn't matter that much. I still think that was the best team in the country. Last year, certainly, and we could go back 2 years, they were very close. And other teams were and are continuing to do things similar and not seeing the same result. So I still think Michigan, sure, maybe they were helped a little bit. They were still the most talented team in the country last year. That's why they won a national championship. Even after they were caught and the eyes of the NCAA were directly on them, they still won the biggest games of their year. Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State go in, beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl. Then they handled Washington in the national championship. That was after they got caught. I do question if, previous to this scandal, college coaches around the country, would they accept services from someone like him willingly? Like, in other words, if he was himself except a diehard Ole Miss fan, and sorry, Rebels fans, to use you as an example, but if he was himself and a diehard Ole Miss fan, would Lane bring him in? And I think the answer is an overwhelming yes. I mean, someone obsessed with the success of your program, willing to do anything and everything to give you an edge, stealing signs better than anyone for little to no money, and then when stuff hits the fan, he'll say whatever you want him to say. He'll say you weren't implicated. He's fine with cutting ties with everybody around you or around him because all he ever wanted was success for your program and for your program to win a national championship. I think every coach, 134 out of 134 FBS programs, would take a guy like that. And the final thing I want to mention before we get to our first break, bring on Colton Denning, talk a little bit of college football, maybe bring up a little bit of this. Based on his tone, because I don't know if you knew this, Sheila, he has like a 500-page manifesto on what he would do in recruiting and sign stealing and play calling at the University of Michigan if he ever became the head coach, because that was his lifelong dream. But based on his tone when discussing his manifesto and at the end of the documentary, because he's still coaching in the Detroit area, he still thinks he has a chance to be a high-level head coach at the FBS level. And what I would tell to him is, buddy, we better get some years removed and you better keep your nose clean that entire time, or you have no shot of ever landing anywhere. Because people don't want those headlines. People don't want that at all. And for you to ever get back to Michigan, I can tell you right now, that will never happen. As long as you live, they will never allow you to be a Michigan football staffer. But it was crazy to me, after all that's happened to him, he still has that same goal. He still feels as if he can be a high-level Division I college football coach. Just blew my mind. But it should blow your mind as well. I would say go watch it immediately. I know some people are in the car. Some people may be working right now. So get past that. And tonight, if you have a little bit of free time, about an hour and 27 minutes, go watch Sign Stealer, made by Untold. I think it is very, very well done. Very well done. Now let's go ahead and get on our first break of the day. And when we come back, we're going to bring on my guy from Two Stripes CPD, talk a little college football, get you prepped for week one. Colton Denning is next on the show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I am pleased to welcome to the program Emmy-nominated writer and producer. He's the creator and showrunner of Entourage. He's on Twitter, on X, at Mr. Doug Ellen. The Johnny Drama Cabs gag is still, like, it makes me laugh so much. Like, whenever I'm with our friends, we see somebody with great cabs, like, bro, your cabs, they real?
So humiliating.
92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright and Company. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. Tune in whenever you like on the free Odyssey app with Rewind Technology.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
So my home is also my office. And before I can focus, every room's gotta be clean. That means tidying up and spraying my Febreze Air Mist. Ooh, that's fresh. Febreze Air Mist scents are all high quality. They fight any weird funk, and they give my air an instant boost of freshness. So not only does my home smell good, I feel good too. After I Febreze, it's time to start my day.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
At Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, it's time to define luxury in a new way. At every turn, you'll find audacious design, state-of-the-art technology, and exceptional hospitality. We are dedicated to crafting the world's best vehicles, matched by an extraordinary sales-to-service experience for our owners. Prepare to be noticed in the Genesis G70. This sporty sedan is a force to be seen. We'd love you to explore the Genesis GV70 with a class-leading 300-horsepower engine or the available 375-horsepower twin-turbo V6 for terrains from concrete jungles to mountain roads. It's a new beginning for a new generation. Genesis Memphis Covington Pike, 1870 Covington Pike, or visit us online at memphisgenesis.com. Estimated horsepower based on premium fuel ratings. Use of regular fuel will result in reduced horsepower. See dealer for complete details. Dealer stock only.
These days, everything in Memphis costs more. But a single line at Verizon doesn't. Get one line for as low as $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while coffee is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. And dinner for two has gotten pricey. Verizon, less pricey. Midtown rent, that's not coming down. But Verizon, down. One line for just $50 a month. That designer golden doodle, so much more. But Verizon, a fair bit less. Even a good old tried and true hamburger will cost you more. But with Verizon, the same tried and true service is now just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Point is, in a world that is always costing more, you can get more for less right now at a Memphis Verizon store. $15 promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G, LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Need inspiration? Shop Kroger for over 30,000 mouth-watering choices with savings beyond low prices. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. More savings and more inspiring flavors make Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties or buy two, get three free with your card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Bob Kessling inviting you to follow all the exciting action of Tennessee football all season long. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Tennessee opens the season Saturday against Chattanooga at Neyland Stadium. Ball network coverage starts at 9:45 a.m. Kickoff set for 11:45.
92.9 FM ESPN is the Mid-South's home of college football and the SEC. Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The Mitsubishi Final Days of Summer sales event is going strong at Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike. So come get bang for your buck with 420 total range and 64 combined MPGE in 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander PHEV. We Gossett, $34,770 or $299.98 a month. And check out 2024 Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. We Gossett at $27,245 or $349 a month. Plus, you'll never go wrong with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Get to Gossett Mitsubishi today at 1870 Covington Pike and 24/7 at memphismitsubishi.com. That's Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
PHEV RZ035297 MSRP 47470, 36-month, 30,000-mile lease, $44.53 due at signing, $1,095 acquisition fee, 25 cents per mile excess wear and tear. Eclipse RZ065450 MSRP 28745, includes all rebates and incentives, PF695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It is week one college football. We get started on Thursday. We're going to have games just about every night leading up till even Monday. But we have to bring on our resident college football sicko from Two Stripes CPD. He also has a YouTube channel. You just go into YouTube, type in Colton Denning, and you'll see all of his work there. But he is, again, Colton Denning on X at Dubsco. Colton, what's the word?
I'm loving that you got my bump entrance music right.
Oh, that's even, I figured you'd like that. Sheila asked me, she's like, what do you have in the repertoire that he'd like? I was like, we don't have to get anything new, but I have some Nelly in there. I have some Nelly in there, so we'll go with that.
And a little STL for some of our friends. We love it.
Yes, yes. And you know where I'm from. You know, you're familiar,
absolutely,
right? Yeah, no, I'm from West County, but I'm close enough to St. Louis to still get the pass. I'm close enough. Close enough. Now, let me, I want to start with a very important question heading into football season, whether it's NFL or college football, because I saw you tweet about this last night. When it comes to the analytics crowd and like PFF and the grades they put out, are you sort of anti-analytics? Are you pro-eye test, anti-analytics? I surmise that, right?
Yeah, I got to say, man, and this is just being completely transparent. Probably like 10 years ago, I was a big Football Outsiders guy, big at the start of PFF. And then as my football watching kind of continued, I start to realize that when you, at least how I engage with these sort of things, but when you engage with them, you start to watch the game more so of in the mindset of, oh, I want to be right about these certain things, or I want to be correct about this, instead of just enjoying the game. And that's where I feel like the conversation around analytics has really changed the game of football. And, of course, it's always been that way where people make predictions and they want to be correct and whatnot. But I just feel like it's gone down a road of where it's not only that, but it's also looking at these players as just kind of a blank number instead
right.
of an actual human playing the game. And it, I think it does take a little bit of enjoyment for people away from the game that is super chaotic and has so many things involved with it. And you know, as somebody who played at a very high level, it's not like in the old NCAA games where you just show up and your stamina is 100 every single week. You know, there are other things, not just on the field, but in your life that go into playing this game. So that's why I've kind of shied away from it over the past 5 or so years.
See, the one thing, and I'll tell you one of my biggest pet peeves, and you mentioned this, and that's why I brought this up off the top of this conversation. When people bring up PFF grades or grades from Football Outsiders to, like, try to win an argument or have a conversation with you, to me, that misses the mark completely. Because you're just trusting their word for it, that they know the assignment of the person they're talking about, that they know exactly what was supposed to get done on a certain play, whether it's O-line, D-line, defensive back, quarterback. I just feel like you miss the mark sometimes when you really just reference those things and don't actually watch the damn football game. Use your eyes.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. There's too much of, oh, hey, look at this player's grade. They were supposed to do this. And then somebody who's actually in the know, you know, player or, you know, somebody close to the team comes out and says, hey, the player's responsibility actually wasn't this. And so
right.
if you're building a system based off of things that might not actually be happening and might not actually be responsibilities, you're working on a flawed system.
Yeah. Now, I have to transition from there. I'm glad we got that out of the way. But tomorrow we have sort of who we rooted for as youngins. We have Colorado versus North Dakota State. How do you feel about this game? I do get the sense, you know, heading in tomorrow night, it'll be on ESPN. If this game is very close, or by God, if Colorado loses, it's going to get really loud on Prime, even more loud than it is right now. And we understand how loud it is with all of the ulterior noise with him sort of telling Sean Keeler, the Denver Post guy, to bug off and he can't ask questions. Him going after the CBS reporter, local CBS reporter a couple of weeks ago. The noise will get really loud based on the way that game goes.
You're not wrong, but I think at this point, like, how much hotter can things get on that front? You know what I mean? And when it comes to the actual game itself, I think that playing North Dakota State is really kind of perfect for them because as much as people don't want to admit this who haven't paid attention to Colorado in the last 2 decades, there's probably one Colorado team since 2007 who could beat this North Dakota State team. I can think of the 2016 team that went to the Pac-12 championship game. But other than that, you know, North Dakota State, the teams that we've known them to field over the last decade or so that have won those national championships, they would run over any Colorado team in the last 15 years. And so I think this is actually better for them because, one, you know, if you do lose, okay, it's going to be loud anyway, and you get it out of the way and you just start the season like that. And if you win, people are going to poo-poo it, whatever, but that's that's going to happen no matter what Deion does. If they miraculously win 10 games and then make the playoff and lose in the playoff, people will be like, oh, see, well, they weren't playoff.
And that's
not going to happen. But you get where I'm saying, where there's just never going to be enough. And so I think playing a team like North Dakota State, if you were playing, say, New Hampshire and see you won by 50, it would be, it's New Hampshire, whatever. Whereas North Dakota State at least has that cachet. And for them, I would say in that room, they're saying, hey, this is a strong team. And I haven't heard anything from them trying to downplay North Dakota State, quite the opposite, in fact, from Prime himself. And so I think that you start the season with a really good test, and I think it'll be beneficial. And you know what? If they lose, and people celebrate and, you know, do laughs on Twitter, and that just is what it is.
Yeah, I will say this. What people don't quite understand about this Colorado team, I know they lost a lot to the portal, and there's a lot of portal movement in general with Deion and the way he's putting together the entire roster. But this offensive football team, and we'll the O-line, obviously the biggest question about the whole thing. This offensive skill football team is unreal. Like, LaJonte Webster is going to be an absolute stud. Jimmy Horn was really good. You still have Travis Hunter. You brought in Will Shepard from Vanderbilt, yeah, who was a 900-yard receiver at freaking Vanderbilt in the SEC. You have Dallin Hayden here from Memphis, went to Christian Brothers. He's coming over. He didn't get what he wanted at Ohio State, your other team. So, when you look at this offense, I have questions about the offensive line. But when we talk about this skill position group, they're really up there. Like, I would rank them very highly when it comes to the rest of the country.
The skill talent is there, too, and I think no matter, you know, we're just going to have to see what the offensive line looks like, but I can't imagine any scenario with some of the talent they brought in that's even close to what it was last year and how bad they were. And I think it affected the way that Shedeur Sanders played, and, you know, he hung on to the ball a lot last season, and we'll see if that's improved. But I think just having, even like what I like to put it as to my friends, we always talk about CU and they have season tickets, is like, if our run game is merely bad, or if the run game is merely average, it'll be three steps above what it
yes.
was last season. Just being able to have an average run game, it's not like anybody's expecting them to run for 225 yards per game, just an average run game, be able to get 4 or 5 yards on first down, not end up in 3rd and 12 all the time where Shedeur just has to run around and then throw it up to Travis Hunter over the middle and Hunter gets his ribs blown up by somebody because that's the only play to be made. So I think the skill talent is obviously there, but just I feel very confident that the line play on both sides of the ball is going to be much better, even if it's not like
It's hard to be worse.
50 in the country.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
I think that's probably the biggest thing you need to preface that by saying, I don't know how much worse it can get. It was really bad last year. Still have questions about the defense, but we'll see how that goes. Last thing on Colorado. What do you think about Deion with the media and the way he's approached this thing? Banning Sean Keeler from asking questions, going after that CBS reporter. He's very, very confrontational.
Yeah, 100%, and I think that, you know, I don't agree with all of it. The Keeler stuff, as somebody who was born and raised in Boulder and had spent, you know, the first 28 years of my life in that market, Sean Keeler has never been what I would consider a great reporter around the market, and so that doesn't surprise me because he's always kind of taken pot shots, not only at CU, but just other teams around the market, both college and pro. But it's also not surprising to me, just given who Deion is. Like, we saw this was a guy who dumped an ice bucket on Tim McCarver's head.
Yes,
what, three decades ago. So when people are still, you can be upset about it, and that's fine, and think that, you know, he's doing it the wrong way. But when people continue to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. It's like, this is Deion Sanders. Like, what, have you not been paying attention?
Yeah, now I have to get to your takeaways from that Florida State, well, week zero, but your takeaways from the Florida State-Georgia Tech game. Georgia Tech, of course, wins the game in Ireland 24-21 over the number 10 team in the country. But it felt like a lot of people, who just sort of watch the game maybe a little bit more casually than you and I, go after DJU. And obviously he's an easy target, right? He was a five-star recruit, never really lived up to that billing. He had that one game in 2020 where he replaced Trevor Lawrence, and he absolutely set the world on fire. I know they lost the game against Notre Dame, but he threw for 400 yards, ran for another 50, had a bunch of touchdowns, accounted for a bunch of touchdowns, and we expected that's who he was going to be. He never lived up to that type of hype. But it felt like people were going after DJU. One of your takeaways was that Florida State's problems are way bigger than DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah, 100%. And when you just watch that game and you look at maybe we'll have to wait and see how the season progresses in terms of the clock rules that were established last year, but only 14 total possessions.
Right.
And if you have a team like Georgia Tech who's just content to run the ball and maybe not pick up those 20, 30-yard chunks that a team with better skill position players can do, but can consistently get 5 or 6 yards and just continue to grind the clock, and you have Florida State without a receiver who they thought was going to be, a real big playmaker for them this season. If anybody thought that Florida State's recipe to win was to put it on his shoulders, like, did you watch him at Clemson? Did you watch him at Oregon State? Last season, he was very efficient at Oregon State, but they also had Damian Martinez, a strong run game, a good line. We have enough on DJ Uiagalelei right now to know that, hey, you don't want him throwing the ball 30-plus times a game. You don't want it to put it all on him. And I think it's a mix of Florida State's offensive game plan, how the game shook out, but just the way that they got bullied on both lines of scrimmage, and Georgia Tech's defense was just content to say at any point, whether it was first down, second down, third down, whatever situation, we are going to blitz you, we're going to get creative, and we're going to make you try to beat us over the top, and they didn't really even have any time to do that.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the clock rules, because that was massive in that game. It was huge. And Brent Key 100%. And that Georgia Tech team did a great job of playing, having that play directly into their hands. You have the 2-minute warning. When you go out of bounds, you're not having the clock stop. It only stops within the last 2 minutes of each half. And there was 4 possessions by Florida State, 3 by Georgia Tech in the first half, 4 by Georgia Tech, 3 by Florida State in the second half. 14 possessions. It is a shortened game. The one thing I am curious about, though, is I don't know if you noticed this. After every single play, when they got the guy down, it took a while for that play clock to start. Felt like there were a lot of seconds that just ticked off unnecessarily. When you get a guy on the ground, they should start that 40-second play clock immediately. Felt like there was about 2 or maybe even 3 minutes sort of just left out there on the field and in the ether. I mean, they were just gone.
Yeah, I wish I could credit. I saw that video floating around from the one podcast, and I wish I could credit.
Yeah, it's my guy Tyler Siski and Neil McCready.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome, and that is something where I hope that him and other people continue to track that, because that definitely had an adverse effect on the game if those numbers are true, and that's just stuff that I thought was, okay, maybe it's because they were in Ireland and just kind of a wonky system, but then he mentioned also in the SMU-Nevada game, which was also very weird, that even then there was 3 or 4 seconds. So that's something that there needs to, of all the things in college football we talk about, you know, being ununiform, that are still fun because they're like that, the one thing that needs to be uniform is how the clock works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, talking with Colton Denning at Two Stripes CPD, you can find all of his work. He is on X at Dubsco, though, and you can also go to the YouTube channel. Just type in Colton Denning into your search bar. How much better should Memphis feel about that Week 3 game against Florida State after watching that first game in Ireland?
They should feel real good, especially on those lines of scrimmage, where I don't think that Georgia Tech is, you know, the most, not physical, because they do play physical under Brent Key, but just from a talent perspective, you would think, okay, they're going to have to kind of get creative, but there was really nothing there. And I think with what you would know better than me with what Memphis has, that they should be able to match up really well with them, and we'll see what Florida State does against a Boston College team that's, you know, basically starting over with Bill O'Brien.
Yep.
But if they struggle in that game, I already feel good about Memphis' chances anyway, but you know, that's obviously something to watch out for.
Yep. Now, holler at me about the matchups you're going to watch most closely. Obviously, we have the ABC triple header that everybody's going to be all over. But you can bring up some of those games as well. What are the matchups you're going to really hone in on coming up this weekend?
Well, I'll give you a storyline that I really love about week one. And maybe as the season goes on, we can find an actual name for it, because I have it written down is there's no lose games between two teams where if you're not a fan of either one, you know how you watch those games in all sports and you think, like, if it's two great teams, you think, you know what, I'm cool with either team winning this game.
Sure.
These are games where it's the opposite, where you're like, I'm fine if either one of these teams loses this game. This is great. Like, this is right. Your Schadenfreude whatever week. And there's games like this every week in college football, but it feels like not only is there a good chunk of them this week, but they're all, like you said, those big games. You're talking about Clemson, Georgia. We had talked about Clemson in the summer and kind of, are they going to be the same exact team they were offensively last year and with their quarterback play? But you know, would I mind seeing them beat Georgia? Not at all. Would I mind seeing Georgia smoke them by 40 and that's how Dabo Swinney starts off his season? Not at all. Then you have Miami, Florida, which the losing coach in that game, good luck with that, whether you're Billy Napier or Mario Cristobal. And at least, I guess, if you're Miami, you think, okay, we have to go into the swamp week one. That's kind of tough. But if you're Billy Napier, you know, you lose that game week one, he's already on the hottest seat in the country. We talked about that last week. So that's another one. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. Who doesn't love watching Notre Dame lose, especially in primetime? And then Texas A&M's fan base is just so crazy that they've somehow, without the success, gotten themselves to the point of people being like, yeah, I'd like to see those guys take a couple of L's.
Sure.
And then to cap it off on Sunday, you have USC and LSU in Las Vegas, which is just like Lincoln Riley has, you know, been up and down, I would say, to the least at USC. And then, I mean, you know, imagine Brian Kelly losing to Lincoln Riley in that setting week one in Las Vegas. So those are all games to me where I don't have a dog in the fight, but I would love to see either team lose. And they're all very big games that are going to play not only into the college football playoff storyline, but just into the whole storyline of the season because they're so big.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know this about me. I'm very hard on Dabo Swinney and Clemson because he just hasn't grown with the times. Doesn't go to the portal, yada, yada, yada. Like, I'm very hard on him, and I admit that. And sometimes maybe I'm a little overboard with it. But I actually have a little positive to share. This is
okay.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a prediction here. And I want to hear if you sort of are on the same page with me on this. I think we see the Cade Klubnik this year that we've been expecting to see for the past 2 years when he was replacing DJU. Last year, what, 19 touchdowns and 9 interceptions? It was kind of ho-hum. They still won 9 games or whatever it was. I think Matt Luke, and these are my hopes more than anything, than anything true right on the surface. I think Matt Luke is their O-line coach, will definitely help that offensive line, keep him more upright. He'll be a more comfortable player from the pocket. I think the run game will be a whole lot better to help supplement what he does. But then even more so than that, last year they hired Garrett Riley after his great year at TCU, and I think he's a great offensive coordinator. I don't think anyone would say that Garrett Riley's a bad offensive coordinator. I mean, look at his bloodline. Lincoln Riley's right there.
Yeah.
We've seen what he's been able to do with quarterbacks. But it felt like last year Dabo still had his hands on that offense. I get the sense that maybe this year, and again, more of a hope than what I have actually seen or seen reported, I feel like maybe Dabo will turn the whole thing over to him and say, get Cade right, make it happen. But all those two reasons, those two hopes, are making me think that Cade Klubnik's going to look like the 5-star he was tabbed to be out of high school.
I would love to see that, and I reference back to a conversation you and I had in the summer about them in their offense of, okay, do they have the Justin Rosses or some of the other, the T. Higgins, some of the other freak receivers that they've had in the past? Probably not, but I'm not going to look at Clemson's roster and see the receivers and say, oh, these guys are bad. They have no talent. Clemson absolutely has talent out wide, and the big question is just really whether Dabo will let Garrett Riley and that offense do their thing, because there's just no reason for them to be as unentertaining as they have been
right.
In the past few years. I think I was looking at the stats last week. I think they were 98 in plays over 20 yards last season, and regardless of whether Clemson has those crazy wide receivers or not, that shouldn't be where they sit in terms of making big plays. If they're in the 50s or 40s, whatever, but they shouldn't be that low. So I think if he just, based off of the fact of if he just lets him do his thing and call his offense and let Cade Klubnik get into a rhythm and kind of be more comfortable where he probably is and what he thought he would be doing at Clemson, then you'll see them take a major step forward offensively.
Yeah, I'll say this too. Final thing for Colton Denning at Dubsco on X. Make sure you go subscribe to Two Stripes CPD. Start times this week. I'm not a fan of two games in particular, and we mentioned one, Clemson, Georgia, the Peach Bowl kickoff, and Mercedes-Benz. I think that should be a night game, just my opinion. It should be the latest game of the ABC triple header. And then Penn State, West Virginia, in West Virginia at 11 a.m. I'm sorry. I don't like that. I'm just not a fan of these start times.
Bro, that's how I'm starting my day. I'm over here on the West Coast, so that's how I'm starting my day at 9 a.m. I'm going for my little morning walk and, you know, making breakfast.
Take the dog out, whatever it is.
I'm starting it with Penn State, West Virginia. No, I'm never a fan of that. And the same with Clemson, Georgia, and just, you know, neutral site games in general. I would love to see Clemson, Georgia, which has historically been a really great rivalry in the 80s and, you know, people younger than us. That would be a game that should be on campus, but hey, I'm just glad they're playing, and I'm actually I'm going to the Stanford TCU game on Friday night, so
okay.
Real excited to head out to Palo Alto. I'm actually mad that the CU North Dakota State game in the summer was a Saturday game, and they changed it to Thursday because I was going to pull the Bay Area doubleheader because San Jose State plays Sacramento State tomorrow night, and then hit the Stanford TCU game on Friday, but I can't miss out on watching my boys, so I'm locked into the
spoken like a true college
North Dakota State game.
Spoken like a true college football sicko. I absolutely love it. But Colton, I appreciate it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. We'll catch back up on next Wednesday.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it.
Yes, sir. That's Colton Denning. He is. You can follow all of his work at Two Stripes CPD. Make sure you go subscribe. Go to YouTube. Also check out. He's just like his YouTube channel. Just type in Colton Denning to that search bar. If you are like a college football sicko and you love nostalgia, he pulls just the oldest clips you could possibly imagine, and he brings them back to life. I absolutely love his YouTube channel. But he's on X at Dubsco. Now with Week One, know what pairs good with Week One of college football? A bottle of Old Dominic. Go get a bottle of Old Dominic. I know you've been grabbing that national brand for years. It's hard to break the habit, but go get a local distillery that does it better. Old Dominic Distillery. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. They have the most fresh, most full spirits you can buy in this city because the distillery is right here in the city, right on the riverfront. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. They have events all the time that you can check out at olddominic.com. They allow you to ship Old Dominic spirits anywhere in the United States of America. You can get them as a gift. So make sure you take advantage of that. I do it at the holidays, send all that bourbon and whiskey to all of my family members, and they absolutely love it. And always remember, they are the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. They have two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. So when you're there watching a concert or a comedian or a game, Tigers or Grizzlies, get a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic. But Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. Now, we have more college football to talk about because we are on the precipice of getting to a heck of a slate for Week One. David Cobb from CBS Sports joins next.
Memphis' number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Are you looking to save on gas? Well, we gossip covered at Gossip Kia on the Pike with 41 in Beachy Highway and your new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. $199 a month, $37.99 due at signing. Or how about a 2024 Kia EV9 Lite with 0% APR available for 48 months? Or get 304 EPA estimated range for $389 a month. $49.99 due at signing. All 24-month lease. Plus, you always get peace of mind with Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Call Bobby J. He's ready to put you in your new Kia today. That's Gossett Kia, 1900 Covington Pike, or online 24-7, 365 at KiaCovingtonPike.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
650 acquisition fee, 20,000 per year, 20 cents excess mileage. Forte RE794066, MSRP 21820, EV9 R60 29603, MSRP 61035. Lease terms include all rebates and incentives, and PF 695 includes tax, title, license, registration, and fees. Must finance through Hyundai with approved credit, valid through 8/31/24, dealer stock only.
Warning: the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile.
and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
At Uline, they know firsthand the road to success is an uphill climb. Uline started in the family basement, and through hard work is now North America's most trusted shipping and industrial supplier. They get what it means to have the support of reliable, hardworking partners, so they keep 41,000 items ready to ship. Whether your company is still in a basement office or expanding cross-country, Uline will be there on your road to success. Visit Uline.com.
Look at your cup holder. It's empty. And you're feeling thirsty. Head to a nearby convenience store and fill it with a Pepsi Zero Sugar, Mountain Dew, or Starry. Grab a delicious, refreshing Pepsi for the road.
With Staples Hot Deals, you'll find super low prices on hundreds of items for back to school, including tech. Right now, get up to $300 off select PCs at Staples. Plus, save even more with Easy Rewards Program. Offer ends 8/24. Save big on back to school at Staples.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They're a local, family-owned and operated business serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. It's the home of the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.